This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Now, you might have read the story last week, which raised a question. I don't want to get into the details of it, but basically the question that came out of it was, what makes people snap?
Mm-hmm.
What makes people just not do things they would normally do? Just go to that point, the straw that broke the camel's back, all that kind of stuff. We need a psychologist for this. It is Maris Deepas. He's on the phone. Good morning to you, Maris.
Good morning, Aaron and Erin, and what an interesting topic.
Oh, yeah.
It is. Actually, just reflecting on this, Maris, and I don't want to come out the gate just generalising, but I want to a little bit. Is this kind of one a little bit more for the men in some respects? I'm just kind of reflecting on people I know who've kind of gotten to that peak and, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't know. In my life, it seems to be, like, I'll get fired up, but it doesn't go from like 0 to 100 straight away. As where I find that maybe men more so, they tend to kind of get to that point where it just all turns. Am I right?
Contentious Tuesday.
Mm.
Okay, so what I would say about that is I don't think that any human emotion is more male or less male or more female or less female. I do think, however, that what it sounds like you're describing there, Aaron, and I think that there is a fair bit of validity to it, in that it is something that we do see quite commonly, is that particularly when it comes to our emotional world, men get certain messages about what certain types of emotions are okay to express as opposed to others which are less so. Mm-hmm. And what that often means is that we can be prone to manage and handle our emotional world differently. Doesn't mean we have to, just means that it's quite a common thing, unfortunately, still in today's society for this to be the case. And so certain emotions are a lot more permissible for men to express, and unfortunately anger is one of them, where for quite a long time, and often the kind of very subtle messages have actually been that it is less permissible for women to express anger in certain ways, and so they simply don't. Mm. So is it more a man thing or less a man thing? I'm not entirely sure, but these are some trends that are quite common, that certain emotions are quite often more permissible for men to express as opposed to others. So, for example, anger versus sadness.
Mm.
And so what that can often mean, and talking in particular as anger as a secondary emotion, and I'll talk about that again in a second, but what that can actually mean is that for a lot of people, it's the other emotions that actually get expressed through anger. And so the anger is the expression of a lot of other, you know, parts of their emotional world. When it comes to men and women, often women are a lot more able to, given more permission to express the underlying emotion, whereas men tend to channel it through anger, unfortunately.
Oh, during certain hormonal peaks, I've been known to snap every now and then, and I'm sure a lot of women listening go, oh, yeah, we do occasionally. But, like, tell us, what's the chemistry of what's going on, or the kind of mental chemistry and stuff like that, when we are snapping? And I think most people can probably think of a time, whether they do this regularly or not, that they've gotten to a point where they've just kind of snapped, or they've gotten to a really high emotional state really quickly. What's kind of going on there?
I think that's the other thing, is that we're all able to get to that point. There are some things we can do about it, of course, but we are all able to get to it. And it doesn't just happen to, you know, people that have, you know, anger issues and all that other stuff.
Mm.
And I guess the classical example, and one of the reasons I think we're talking about this week is one of the classical examples of this is road rage. And so I'd like to also just say hello to all the listeners out there that are in a car at the moment, now glancing at the people in the cars next to them. But what you're talking about there is the idea of almost like it's a volcanic anger, and what is really, really common is that we have an anger bank in a way. We go through life and we have resentments, we have issues, we have difficult things, stress and worry happening for us, and unless we're able to actually process that and manage that in an effective way, it kind of gets stored up for us, and what that means is we effectively get full. If you think of a balloon slowly getting more and more air put into it, the outside of that balloon gets more and more tense until it reaches an almost breaking point. And it's when it comes to this sort of thing in life, it's really, really common for the thing that tips us over, the straw that breaks the camel's back, to be almost trivial. But it's actually the thing that actually bursts that balloon and allows all of that emotional energy to actually come out. And often, unfortunately, when that does, and if you think about a balloon as well, when that balloon bursts, it becomes almost indiscriminate, and it kind of goes everywhere. Mm. And it's really, really common with this type of anger as well, that there's so much energy built up that when that actually gets burst or when that gets expressed, it's whoever is around, and sometimes the situation may not actually warrant that level of emotion and that level of behavior, and yet this is the way it plays out.
Mm. I guess, is it possible to have some kind of a strategy to stop that straw from breaking the camel's back? I know you're just going to say, oh, balance and prevention and dealing with things, but I don't know. At that point where you're about to snap, is there something you could do?
I imagine if it's a balloon, you go...
Just, yeah, just
you do that little
squeal.
That's right, and that's the everyday stuff. That little squeal, that's the everyday stuff of keeping up our lifestyle, exercise and all those sort of things.
Yeah.
One important thing, I guess, would be, so there's two ways to look at this. One of them is to be as self-aware and monitor as much as possible just how filth full our anger bank actually is on a daily basis. And have a think about where the anger might be actually situated. I mean, the common example with road rage is that people in their day-to-day jobs experience a great deal of difficulty. There may be a lot of things that are outside of their control. They have a really, really difficult time, but because of the nature of the economy and everything else, they can't actually tell their boss this, that, and whatever. And so it builds and builds and builds all day or all week or all month, and then they get in the car and someone cuts them off, and that comes out at that individual, and sometimes that type of anger can actually be a form of reasserting control. I felt so out of control in so many areas of my life that now this is how I'm going to reassert it, and it's going to be really difficult for someone else.
Mm.
So getting in touch with some of these themes for ourselves and thinking about not only how full is our anger bank, but where is this coming from? Is it coming from life, relationships? Is it coming from financial stress, work stress? So that we're better able to then channel our solutions and our management of this into those kind of areas, and it doesn't spill into others. So work stress doesn't come home and become, you know, outside of work stress and relationship stress. So there's that approach that's really, really important. The other one would just be when it comes to the thing that may just break, the bit of straw that may break the camel's back, which, as we've talked about, may actually be very, very seemingly trivial. Introducing a third-person perspective, I think, in that instant as quick as possible is another really important way to be able to manage that. So to be able to kind of say, well, what would the person in the other car over there see and see about, you know, what I'm actually thinking about doing? And so, you know, what would they have seen? They would have seen someone get cut off. They would have seen someone get angry. You know, that's what they would have seen. How would they feel about seeing me actually get out of the car now and approach that window? Oh, well, so that third-person perspective is a way to just kind of widen the lens a little bit and to be able to put some of those seemingly less significant, straws that break the camel's back into perspective, and then help us to kind of regulate and manage that and not get ourselves in a difficulty.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.